These are weighty verses. Beginning of verse 14, it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, what does it mean? What does that mean? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, when you think about the awesomeness of being created by God and all the intricacies of how we are knit together, all the different DNA and RNA and all of that that determines the color of our hair, eyes, how big or tall, how skinny or wide we might be. All of those things God put into place the moment of conception. And we value life. In fact, there's a couple of quotes that Nan handed me I want to mention here. One individual said this concerning the abortion issue, and this would be an unborn child saying this: take my hand, not my life. Randy Elkhorn said that something non-human doesn't become human by getting older or bigger. Whatever is human from the beginning. Amen? From the beginning. We still have quite a bit of a fight going on here in Minnesota concerning this abortion issue, and we need to be really praying about it. Maybe Colleen will be talking about that a little bit more as well. But goes on to say, marvelous are thy works and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. God is the origin of life. He's the giver of life. And we uphold the sanctity of life throughout our lifetime and the lifetime of others. Colleen, it's good to have you with us. Come on up and share with us what you have for us at this time.
She's going to show a video
first. We'll show the video first, okay? Janine, you want to show that video first of all? Thank you.
Today. Gotta have water, gotta have my glasses, gotta have my phone, gotta have the clicker. I think we'll be okay. Thank you very much for having us today. We're grateful to be here. I am squeaking. I just had cataract surgery a few weeks ago, so I'm not very used to doing presentations without my glasses that I've had since kindergarten, so I pray that I'll be able to read everything I'm supposed to read. But thank you for letting us be here today. My husband Steve is here with me, and we're just all kind of recovering from bronchitis like everyone else in the world. So I'm really grateful that we can talk today and share some truth with you from God's Word about life and to share the work of Metro Women's Center with you. So Metro Women's Center is one of the more than 2,700 pregnancy resource centers in the States. We now outnumber abortion clinics in Minnesota 11 to 1. Pretty good odds. Really grateful as we stand in the gap for those who are thinking about abortion. We stand in the gap for those who are of infinite worth to God. And we are very grateful for your partnership. You folks have been with us practically since the beginning. And I think it's just so fantastic the way that you keep loving on our ladies and you keep sharing prayers with us and you keep giving financially. So thank you. Thank you very much for that. There's a table out in the lobby. There's our annual report out there. There's some little bracelets and some buttons and things you can take. So please feel free to avail yourself of those things. If you have questions, please let us know. There's also a list of prayer requests there for 2025. The list keeps getting longer and longer as we deal with the issues of abortion in our state. So just help yourself to those things, and hopefully you can learn a little bit, pray wisely, and just continue to serve the Lord where you're at. So there we go. Thank you. So this is an interesting picture, isn't it? In January of 1973, Roe v. Wade became the law of the land, making abortion legal throughout this country. Thankfully, on June 24th, 2022, the Supreme Court of the United States overturned Roe in a decision called Dobbs v. Jackson, and it returned the issue of regulating abortion back to each individual state. And the slide that you see in front of you is the, on the one side is the ultrasound that they had in 1973 to show what was going on inside the womb. And the other slide is what we see now with an ultrasound, a 3D ultrasound. And it shows what we've always known, that there's a baby in there, right? So Roe versus Wade was really put into place with old science. So now we have new science that shows us more of what's going on in the womb. And this was a slide that was used in the case for Dobbs versus Jackson that helped to overturn Roe versus Wade in our country. So now instead of one giant battle, we have 50 battles. Each different state gets to decide how abortion is regulated in their state. So even though the overturn of Roe versus Wade was a moral victory, abortion's not going away in Minnesota. It won't go away anytime soon. In 2023, maybe? There we go. In 2023, there were over 14,000 abortions in Minnesota. 97% of those abortions were done not to save the life of the mother or because of rape or incest, but simply because people just didn't want to be pregnant at that time, or they had relationship issues, or they had financial pressures. 48% of all abortions in Minnesota are now paid for with your tax dollars. Thankfully, the closest abortion clinic to Metro Women's Center in Robbinsdale, the Robbinsdale Abortion Clinic, just recently closed after being in business since 1973. 60,000 babies lost their lives at that clinic. We didn't close because the abortionist had a change of heart. She was just getting older, and she couldn't find someone to run the clinic for her. So thankfully, that clinic is going to be raised, and an IT company is going to take it over. So that's really good news. We're really thankful for that. There will be some sort of a memorial service there at some point. So just keep praying that the abortionist that worked there will have a change of heart. We don't know that she's had a change of heart yet, but keep praying for her. Sadly, in Minnesota, we have the most extreme abortion policies of any country. Our abortion policies are now on par with North Korea and China. The PRO Act was enshrined in Minnesota in 2023, and it established a fundamental right to reproductive health care in our state. As I said, Minnesota's laws are now on par with North Korea and China. You know, it's so interesting that a fundamental right to that takes away, it takes precedence over every other right, takes precedence over the right of someone else to live. It's just so mind-boggling, you can't even understand it. In the year since the PRO Act was passed, abortions have increased 20%. That's the highest increase since 1990. The number of out-of-state women coming to Minnesota increased by 100%. The year before the PRO Act, there were 1,000 women coming, and now there are 2,000. So we've become an abortion destination state, and since Roe was overturned, we're now surrounded by states that have restricted abortion. Wisconsin, Iowa, South Dakota, and North Dakota have all put into place abortion restrictions. I was on a clandestine Facebook group call with a whole bunch of pro-death people, different reproductive organizations, and one of the ladies about fell off my chair when she said, yeah, we're going to request $30 million from the legislature for abortion stabilization funding. And I was like, 30? What kind of chutzpah, if you will, thinks that you can get $30 million for abortion stabilization funds when they just removed all of the positive alternative grants from organizations that fund and help women who are pregnant. So it's a very haughty group that opposes life, that opposes the work that we do. And because of what's happening in Minnesota, there's no more protection for minors. Minors can have abortions without their parents' consent. There's no protection for babies who are born alive after abortion. And it should really concern us, too, for kids that are born with special needs or with physical disabilities, because the state now has no obligation to provide care for those kids. So it's not only babies that survive abortions, it's babies that are born with disabilities that survive. The wording of the law says they're required to provide care, but not medical care. So it should concern us all about folks that are with disabilities as well. The only people protected by abortion in Minnesota right now are the abortionists. There's something called the SHIELD law, and I need to research it a little bit more, but it shields abortionists from doing abortions on women that come from out of state if there would be any kind of legal action against them. So I pray today that as I share that you feel compassion for those who are in a pregnancy situation and that you don't hear condemnation for those who walk in darkness. The abortionist is not the enemy. People are not our enemy. They are people that God loves who need to know him. Luke 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save that which is lost." So in Minnesota, we have all these new or non-restrictions, I would say. A great concern to us is the abortion pill. There's two sets of pills that are given to a woman seeking an abortion. The first set of pill cuts off the oxygen supply to the baby. The second pill, taken hours later, causes a miscarriage. 65% of abortions in Minnesota are now done with the abortion pill. I was describing this procedure to a woman the other day who came into our office seeking an abortion. And I said, "What kind of an abortion do you want?" And she said, "I don't know. What kind are there?" I said, "Well, there's surgical abortions and then there's chemical abortions." So she had me describe each one. And as I was describing the abortion pill abortion to her, and I told her, the oxygen supply is cut off from your baby, they send you home, and you deliver your baby in your toilet. She said, "No, can't possibly be." I said, "Yep, look it up. That's what's true." So they don't tell you that that's what's going to happen. Can you imagine the trauma, thinking that you're just going to have a heavy period, but yet you deliver a baby in your toilet? Because those chemicals are now accessible online and through the mail, the closest abortion clinic to a woman might be her mailbox. Who knows what kind of medicine, or I don't even want to call it medicine, who knows what kind of chemicals that they're getting through the mail? Well, these things might be disheartening, but my friend Brian Gibson said it the best. He said, "We may be post-Roe, and we may be post-Dobbs, but we are not post-God." And I'm very grateful for that. I've been thinking a lot about Psalm 36 lately, and if I can just share a little bit of that with you today. it talks about the five ways of the wicked. And it says, there are a few key features of the unbelieving worldview that David explores. Remarkably, despite having been written almost 3,000 years ago, they remain as relevant and insightful as they were when they were first penned. The five attributes of the wicked set forth the bold, broad contours of all those throughout every age who reject God's will and purposes in the world. First, they have no respect of God or his word. Verse 1 says, there's no fear of God before his eyes. Second, they believe that they are good and they are not cognizant of the depth of our sinfulness before God. And verse 2 says, for in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. Third, they have no regard for truth. They put their trust in their own words. Verse 3 says, the words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. Fourth, the wicked are convinced that their plans, not God's plan, will succeed. Verse 4 says, even on his bed he plots evil. He commits himself to a sinful course. Finally, they actually admire evil rather than despise it. Evil is called good, and good evil. Verse 4 goes on to say that the wicked commits himself to a sinful course and does not reject what is wrong. These are the broad contours of the worldview of the wicked. We should remember those attributes and be ready to identify them when we encounter them. Be ready. I like the verse that says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. And we have that opportunity at the center to give an answer for the hope that we have in Christ. I often think, too, of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, where it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. This is a spiritual battle more than anything than it is a physical battle. So just to give you kind of an idea of just how much they hate us, this is a T-shirt that has been produced by the pro-abort folks, and I hope you can see it. It's a picture of a pregnancy resource center on fire. And it's actually a kind of a line drawing of an actual pregnancy center in the uptown area. And it's on fire. And it says the religious right is wrong. And they've actually produced this T-shirt. Can you imagine if I would produce a T-shirt with an abortion clinic on fire? I'd be in jail, right? But this is how much they hate the work that pregnancy centers do, the work of organizations that help women. This is how much their hate is. And it stems from their hate of God and their hate of life. So just be reminded that this is not a nice group of people that we're dealing with. These are people who would stop at nothing to harm the work that we do. Sorry. Maybe. This is a note I got one year at one of our banquets from a boy named Jesse. At the time of the banquet, he was about 16, and he left this note with donations, and it says, from Jesse, I love you. I'm glad you are Keisha's friend, so I didn't die. And Keisha is his mom, and his mom was one of the ladies that we helped at Metro Women's Center to choose life for her baby. And I'll never throw that note away. And that's a little picture of him. He's now in his 20s and doing really well in life. But, you know, it's when you look at in the eyes of a baby who is truly safe and spared from abortion, it makes the work easy. So this is our team at Metro Women's Center. We have three goals: to defend a life in the womb, to restore lives through biblical and practical education, and then to shelter lives at the Amazing Grace Home. We've expanded our team this year. We have Kim and Joe, who are at the house. We have Chloe, who is my office assistant. We have Renee Tannis, who's working with our marketing. And then Nancy King from our office, or from our Fourth Baptist, comes in a couple days a week and does some client interventions. So really thankful that we can make relationships that last with these ladies. You know, oftentimes people say, well, I'm not a Christian, but I'm pro-life. And a lot of people think, well, how can you be pro-life if you're not a Christian? There are many people who are pro-life who have nothing to do with God, who are even atheists, who are even agnostics, but they believe that abortion is wrong because it's a human rights issue, And so there's many people that can come into our tent that are for life that don't necessarily have it from the Christian perspective. So at Metro Women's Center, we do have that Christian perspective, and we are passionate about providing support and help to individuals facing pregnancy situations, not only because physical lives are at risk, but also because the eternal lives of the moms and the dads are at risk. And their moms and the dads and those babies are of infinite worth to God. We are ambassadors at Metro Women's Center. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us that as believers, we are ambassadors for Christ. Certain that God is appealing through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And as ambassadors of Christ, we have the joy of sharing the gospel with people. And we have to remember when we're interacting with people that we're always looking into the eyes of somebody that God loves. And we have, they're worth our purposeful and our careful attention. Just this last week, a lady came in looking for some help, and she allowed us to share the gospel with her all the way through. And I said, would you like to pray to trust Christ? And she said, I don't know for sure. I said, that's okay, but now you know the gospel. And so you can take that home with you, and you can consider it and ponder it. What a privilege and a joy to be able to share with her the truth of God's word. One of the things that people say against pregnancy resource centers is, you only care about the woman while she's pregnant. You only care about her when the baby is in her womb. You don't care about her afterwards. Well, anybody that comes to Metro Women's Center is allowed to stay in our program until that baby is a year old. So we really try and say we're not just about the pregnancy and the mom, but about that next step for that baby. So these are some of our ladies that we've helped in our Defending Life part of our work. The couple in the middle got one of your Christmas bags. You can see those that your ladies put together. The two babies on the side, their moms were in our program. The one on the far side, her mom was abortion-minded, and she chose life for her baby. Right now, 10 babies have been spared from abortion in the last 2 years at Metro Women's Center. There were 4 babies recently whose lives were at risk, and some of those moms were not able to reach them. We're not able to call them back or to find out what happened. But last week, we had a lady come in. She walked in off the street looking for an abortion. And as I was talking with her, as I shared with you, talking with her about the different kinds of abortion, she said she wasn't sure what she was going to do. So I sent her next door to the Crystal Women's Clinic, where they do ultrasounds, and they did an ultrasound on her, and she called me back and said, I'm choosing to parent. So praise God for that. Praise God for the cooperation between the different pregnancy centers that do different work. Kayla was another girl who came into our office. She was going to abort, but she couldn't follow through with it. She chose to live in one of our shepherding homes before we had the Amazing Grace home. And she wasn't, like I said, not sure about God. But she told us that being in her shepherding family around Christians really was a comfort to her. She chose an adoption plan for her baby, and recently she told me, I don't know where I would be today if I had not found Metro Women's Center. She made an adoption plan, as I said, for her child, and I recently was able to attend her wedding to a wonderful young man. So really thankful for those Defending Life moments that also lead us to long-term relationships. This is our restoring life aspect of our word. It really involves restoring people to a relationship with God or inviting them to have a relationship with God. About 75% of our clients that come to Metro Women's Center receive some form of gospel witness, and more than 50 Bibles were shared last year. We see women from over 20 countries, and most of our clients are single, and they're already parenting other children after they're on their first visit with us. We don't necessarily have a pregnancy crisis in our country. We have a relationship crisis, as many of our folks don't look at marriage as a way to build a family or to keep a family going. So lots of interesting relationships come into our office, and we invite the men to come in too, to be part of the program, to learn and earn points. So really grateful for that. Through our program, we have two financial aid programs. One is called the Acacia Fund, and that was started by Dr. Jeff Brist. His daughter passed away from Down syndrome at I think she was 15 months old, but he gave us the funds from her memorial to start an in-house financial aid program. And through that program, we were been able to help people with things like rent, gas, groceries, utilities. We put tires on somebody's car. So just a lot of the practical things that the moms might need for help. With our through our Acacia Fund, too, we have ability to help people who are trying to get to the next apartment that they might need, but maybe they've got an unlawful detainer in their background. So we've set up a program where they can, if they say they owe $1,000, if they can come up with $500, we can maybe match that other $500 so that they're not in a place where they're not able to find secure housing. So it's a working together to help them program. We also have a program called the Cradle of Hope. Cradle of Hope is a motherhood fund, and they help with rent assistance when someone is in a pregnancy situation due to the pregnancy. Maybe they have high blood pressure, or maybe they have early delivery, and they're not able to work as long as they thought they could, or maybe they're going to be delayed in getting back to work because of a sick baby. So through Cradle of Hope, they can help with up to $500 or $600 towards a rental need for a mom. And that program has helped with almost $18,000 of help for people. So we don't only just offer the words of encouragement and hope, we offer the tangible items that help people. So grateful for that. Our HOPE program provides educational and practical resources to more than 50 families each year. Last year we had our diaper drive. We raised over 20,000 diapers. We actually still have some of those left, but they've been going like hotcakes. So I'm really thankful for that. Many are distributed to our clients. Our clients can get diapers twice a month with the points that they earn. And they earn points by going to work, going to school, by doing their well baby checkups, by coming into the office and watching videos or taking our classes. So it's a incentive program that they can do as much as they want to earn points. So last year, 24 car seats were given out to people, and over 280 bags of diapers were given, plus mountains of baby supplies and other things that were provided. So those practical help build relationships, and they help us to stay in contact with our ladies. One lady was in the office on Thursday, and that was her last visit with us. She's been in the program during her pregnancy and then for that next year. And we just keep talking to her about God. She's still not quite ready to commit to anything, but keep talking to her and keep encouraging her. So we also told her, you're welcome to come back in, even if you don't want to earn points, but you can learn some more things. So we're grateful for those relationships. Kim teaches classes in our Restore Center. We really went big this year and got a TV to attach to the wall. That was a big deal for us. We were using one of those projectors with the giant strobe light that hurts your eyes. So we finally got a TV that attaches to the wall, and it changes the way that we can do classes and interact with the ladies. So through those classes, 32 clients, men and women, have attended 10 different classes this year. And the gospel is just woven throughout those classes. Kim has a way of just weaving that gospel in through all of her material. So we're grateful for that. A young woman named Sarah took those classes. She was 26, pregnant with her second child. She had scheduled an abortion at 3 different clinics. She said, I know the process of going through an abortion will scar me forever, but I was scared. I found Metro Women's Center, she said, and I met with Judy, a volunteer. And she said, we began a Bible study, and I found the hope and the help I needed to trust God through this trial. I'm so thankful for this program. Sarah has since moved to California, but we do keep in touch with her periodically. So sheltering lives is our third word, defend, restore, and shelter lives. That's a program for housing for pregnant women. Kim and Joe actually live there, and they work on goals, and they model healthy relationships. Joe shovels the snow off of the ladies' cars when it snows, and it's kind of like a big brother to these ladies. We've had 53 women live in the home since we started. It's been a real challenge lately to get people to actually commit to come to the home. We do have one lady that just was in the home this last year, and I'll share a little bit about her in a little bit. But pray that women will come to the home, that they won't be scared, that they won't feel like different from us, that we would be welcoming and that we would have opportunities to minister to them, to help them kind of build a foundation for their life so that the next steps will be better for them. So our little logo there has a little bird flying off in it, and we feel like that's part of our job, is to help them fly off into a good future. And if we can share Christ with them, if we can help them with some budgeting things, if we can help them with some relationship issues, that helps them to go forward in their future. This is the inside of the house. Very comforting and warm and cozy. We don't have a mortgage on the house, so all we have is the utilities and the upkeep on the house, plus the salary for Kim and Joe. 13 of our ladies have made adoption plans while they've been in the home, including two women who have had sets of twins. One of the gals, Ashley, I think she came here maybe with Kim and Joe, but she placed her children 6 years ago, and just recently I was in touch with Ashley, and she's living in Red Wing right now, and she's got ongoing contact with the twins. And she said, I can't believe how happy they are and how stable they are. She said, I just am so grateful. Can't even put it into words how much it was helpful for me. So we have some beautiful outcomes. When you see a child born after the mom had been aborted or abortion-minded, and you see her look at that baby with this adoring look of love, it's just such a contrast and such a beautiful thing to see. So grateful for it. The little girl on the little pink bow, it's bigger than her head, that was the lady that most recently lived at the Amazing Grace home, and she just gave birth to her daughter about a week and a half ago, and she was very, very grateful for the opportunity to be at the home. She told me recently, she said, you know, people that started out strangers have now become like family, and I'm learning to trust God too. So really grateful for that outcome. The little boy on the other side, that's sad. Anyway, that is a really amazing story. His mom, her name is Ayan. Ayan is a Muslim girl, and Ayan came into our office with her cousin many months ago, and she was terrified. And her cousin had brought her because she needed to find a place to stay that she could be safe. Ayan's Muslim heritage had caused her a lot of trouble. She had become pregnant before, and her brothers had forced her to have an abortion. Her sisters actually took her to the abortion clinic and held her down while they did the procedure, even though she didn't want to be there, and nobody helped her. So after that happened, she became pregnant again, and that's when she came in to us. So we talked with her a little bit about how we could help her. We talked with her about the Amazing Grace home. She chose to move in even though she was Muslim and we were Christians. She said, I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything. So we were able to help her get into the house. Well, she got into the house, and unfortunately her brothers found her. She was working a job, and she went to the job, and her brothers found out where she was, and they tried to grab her while she was at work. Thankfully, her cousin was there, and her cousin was able to spirit her away and get her safe. Well, now the brothers knew where she was living, so we had to figure out a way to keep everybody safe. So a friend of mine runs a home in Iowa called the Ruth Harbor, and they have a home similar to ours. So Ayan and I snuck off to Iowa, and we took her to Iowa, and she's been there ever since, being ministered to and being helped through her pregnancy. Well, just last week, Ayan gave birth to this beautiful little baby boy. What a blessing that is. And she said, like the other gal said, strangers love me more than my family does. What's this all about? And we say, it's Jesus. It's because of Jesus. But she's planning on parenting her little guy, and she'll be living in Iowa. She said, I'm an Iowa girl now. So, but she's very grateful that we were able to help her. I'm grateful that we can cooperate and combine forces with other pregnancy centers and other places that offer help. So we've been blessed to see two of our former clients get married, and that's an exciting thing to see happen. Like I said, we're about long-term relationships. The girl with the hair on the side there, that's the mom of the little girl with the big bow. And she just got her own apartment. Through working with Kim on budgeting, she was able to work out. She saved, I think, over $8,000 while she was in the home. And she was just able to put that money aside. So when she was ready to have her baby, she was able to get into a place. She worked really hard. She worked long days, and she really put her mind to making a different life for herself. The couple on the other side, that gal lived in our home when she was 18 and made an adoption plan for her baby, and then she went on to get married, and they now have two children together. She's actually studying social work right now, so it's kind of a fun thing to see what she'll do with that degree. I love it when our ladies say, strangers become family. And I think today, with our people being suspicious about people, that's a pretty big blessing to hear somebody say that. Strangers become family. So that's what we'd like to do at Metro Women's Center. So thank you for your partnership. Many other stories I could tell you, many other things I could talk about, but that's the gist of what we do at the center. Each year, we do set aside a day to honor the sanctity of human life, yet honoring the sanctity of human life happens not only just one day a week, one day a year, it has to happen every day in our lives. So really grateful to be able to serve. Thank you for honoring life, not just one day, but all throughout the year. Prayer requests, like I said, are out on the table, but specifically you can pray as we share the love of God and the hope of the gospel with people. Pray that we can offer support to individuals before they reach an abortion clinic, and pray that our Amazing Grace Home's residents will feel safe and loved in our home. Thank you for helping us serve people who are of infinite worth to God. I don't know if anyone has questions. That would be helpful. Questions? Yes.
Colleen, do you offer free ultrasound to any pregnant woman?
We actually don't do that. Our center is in Crystal, and there was a pregnancy center called the Robbinsdale Women's Center that was in Robbinsdale. Probably they were right across the street from the abortion clinic that closed. A year ago, they moved kind of next door to us in the Aldi parking lot. They moved their clinic there and expanded. And we've always been in contact with them. That's where we've always sent our ladies for ultrasounds. We didn't head in that direction because I have no desire to be a medical director of anything. But and there are pregnancy centers that do that in the cities and do it well. So they have an ultrasound STI program. We have a maternity home that they don't have. So we kind of joined forces to do some holistic care for people. I can call them and say, I need someone to have an ultrasound. They can walk over and do it. So, I mean, it's literally across the parking lot from us. Nope, it's all free. All of our services are free. Yeah, we don't take any government money. And, you know, you won't find a bag of diapers or a car seat or anything at an abortion clinic. But through God's people, we have all of those resources that we can help with people. That's a good question. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Appreciate your time, and thank you for having me.